bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Father, we have thy word before us. We give thee thanks for that. And Father, yet we know that there is an awesome responsibility and accountability that we have, Lord, with reading thy word and with having a desire to follow after thee, Lord, that we would do that which would be according to thy will and according to this thy word that we would read. And so we just pray thee, O God, that thou wilt grant grace day by day, that we would fulfill that which thou hast written here in thy word. And so we lean upon thee, and we look to thee in all things, and have our faith anchored upon thee, Father, for we know that thou canst do all things. And so we just pray thee that thou wilt bless this afternoon our service to us, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. For this afternoon, let's read in together from Psalm number 27. Psalm number 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, he shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed, to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. This pulpit Bible up here has a heading for this psalm of the strength of life. And we know that God is our refuge, and only through him can we have a shelter from the storm and from the temptation and onslaught of the devil that he would bring our way. And so we give God the thanks that he is our refuge, that he is our strength, and through him we have life. When we consider in the physical sense that if a tornado or a hurricane is coming through our very area, right in our very midst, that we would take we would make the appropriate measures to take shelter in the appropriate way, and we would look for a place that would be a good shelter, a refuge in the time of storm, A place that would be sturdy, a place that would keep us from the winds and from the destruction and flying debris and the onslaught that would come in the storm. We would look for that place of refuge. In the spiritual sense, we only look to God as our refuge in the storm. And we know that it's Satan himself that brings the storms in our lives. Just as we read this morning there in Matthew chapter 7 of how Jesus spoke that when we build upon a rock, we will be able to withstand the winds that come, the rains that fall, and the waters that would beat vehemently on the house. Just as that's secure, we also look to God that He would be our refuge in this time of storm. And we know that again that Satan is the one that brings these storms and he wants to destroy us. He wants to bring upon us great difficulty and wants to make us to stumble in our faith that we would have. But in all these things, we look to God that God would provide for us a refuge, that He would be the strength of our life, and that He would provide for all our needs, so that whenever Satan has his onslaught against us, whenever he would want to cast doubt in our hearts and in our minds of who Jesus Christ really is, or whenever there would be some crisis in our life, whatever that crisis might be, it could be a financial crisis, it could be a relationship crisis, it could be a physical crisis, whatever that crisis would be, a loss of a job, that Satan would come against us, and he would want to cast doubt in our mind as to the validity of God, of his ability to help, and of whether he's really there or not. But yet we look to God. We look to God always in all these storms, in all these things. We look to Him as our refuge in the time of storm. There are false forms of refuge, and we need to be aware of false forms of refuge. There are false forms of refuge of man, of looking to someone, and there's another false refuge of looking to some place that would provide a refuge. Those are false. We know that in the times of the apostles that Gamaliel, he was a doctor of the law. He was held in reputation among the people. He was conferring with the consul there, with his own people. And he's telling them, we need to be careful about what we intend to do with these disciples. And he brings out some examples, and he says to the consul, he says, "For before these days, rose up Thaddeus, who, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught." And so Gamaliel gave an example of, you want to put a refuge in man? Look what happened. Look what happened. He died, and the people were scattered. And then he brings up another example, and he says, "And after this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed." These people, Thaddeus and Judas of Galilee, they had the ability to draw many people after them. They had that ability. But the Bible says that they perished, and all the people that followed them simply scattered. And so all men need a Savior. All men need a Savior. We don't look to a man to be our Savior. We look to God that He would be our refuge. That He would be our refuge in all things that that Satan would bring against us, and in these storms of life that we would have. That God would be our refuge. We don't look to man. Man fails. Man needs Jesus Christ. The Bible also says in Psalms there that it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. We don't put confidence in men. Men will fail. We put confidence in our trust in the living God who can do all things. And in terms of of a place, of looking for a place of refuge, there is no place on this earth where Satan is banished, where he is not allowed to be. Satan is everywhere. And so when we consider that even the Apostle Paul himself had said that he suffered reproach, he suffered difficulties in this life. He suffered it in the city. He suffered reproach in the wilderness. And he suffered reproach and difficulty on the sea. There was no place of refuge for the Apostle Paul as he went forth and proclaimed the gospel to all of Asia Minor there and for all the places he went to. There was no place of refuge. There was no place. And neither is there a place of refuge today. There was a place, there were cities of refuge when the kingdom of Israel was initially started. There was cities of refuge. But today there is no refuge from Satan and his wilds that we could go to. We can't go to some remote area of Montana and say, well, Satan is banished from here and he won't tempt us here. Or some remote village in a foreign country. We go to God for our refuge. The kingdom of God is within us. It's not on the exterior. He is our refuge. God is our refuge. And so we look to him in all things that God would provide for us and that he would lead us and that he would direct us in all things. When when the Lord was here upon this earth and he was sharing the word with people whom he had fed physically, the 5,000, how he turned the bread and loaves into multitudes and into a multitude of food and gave to the people, he spoke unto them and he said, no, you need to eat actually of my flesh that you might have life and drink of my blood. That's how you'll have eternal life. And he'll raise them up at the last day. And the people there at that time could not comprehend and understand what Jesus here was teaching. And so they turned away and walked away. They didn't follow the Lord anymore. And so they went away. And so Jesus asked his disciples, he says, will you also go away? And the Apostle Peter answered properly, and he says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure. Let me find that here, because I really appreciate those words. Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. He had that confidence that in Christ we can have refuge. In Christ we can have eternal life. In Christ we will be spared from the shelter and have a shelter from the time of storm when Satan would present himself with great trials and tribulations in our lives. And so it is in that we can have that refuge and have that confidence that God is with us, and in him and in him alone we can have that refuge in the time of storm. And so Jesus also says that these things have I spoken unto you, all things that Jesus, not necessarily what he was saying here when he was saying, ask and it shall be given unto you that your joy may be full. He was speaking of these things. And then he says, these things have I spoken unto you that in me ye might have peace. That in Jesus Christ we might have a refuge. That in him we can have this peace. He says, in the world ye shall have tribulation. That will happen. He says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so we look again to Jesus Christ, to God, for a refuge in the time of storm. Because he can provide. Because only God can provide that for us. And he has provided that for us in the form of his Son, whom he has given for all of us. That if we believe in him, we will have eternal life. And so Jesus says in another place here that he says to all the people there, he says, my Father is greater than all. Jesus Christ made that declaration. He says, my Father is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Is that not a beautiful comfort of the scriptures, of a refuge that we can have in God? God is greater than all, and no man shall be able to pluck us out of our Father's hand. A beautiful comfort and a promise for us that we can have that consolation that God is our refuge. We are in His palm. He is holding us. He knows us. And he's greater than all, and He's going to allow no man to pluck us out of His hand. The Bible says, the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And that's another pictorial of how God is our refuge, that He's holding us in the palm of His hands. He is holding us. Underneath are the everlasting arms. The eternal God, He is our refuge. He is our refuge, the eternal God. And so that's who we look to in all storms of life that Satan would bring our way. We look to God, and He will provide for us that refuge in the time of storm. He will keep us in the palm of His hand, and He will let no man pluck us out of His hand. He will care for us. He will love us because He loved us so greatly. And if He provided for us His Son, He will surely give us all other things that we have need of in this life. And so we look to God as our refuge. We don't look to others. We don't look to any other place. We look to nothing else but God, because He is our refuge. And then also there in Romans, where it speaks that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing, no tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. None of this is going to be able to separate us from the love of Christ. And then he continues on and says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing shall separate us, because we have our refuge in God. Because He is greater than all, and He can do all things, we have our refuge in God. He provides for us because He loves us so. Again, a great comfort and a great consolation we have in that when Satan will come and he'll throw all his fiery darts at us, we can have the refuge in our Lord. And so when we consider these things, then we can look at Psalm 27 and say, yes, I understand that, and I believe that just as David had written here, and he says that God was the strength of his life, and he'd written all these things, we can understand that and say, yes, I know no man can save me. No place is a place of refuge that's going to keep me from Satan's wiles. But in God, in whose palm I am, He will keep me, because He is greater than all. And so David writes and he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I'm in the palm of God's hand. Who am I going to fear? God is greater than all. Who am I going to fear? He's my light and my salvation. He's the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And when I consider that, I'm reminded of Psalm number 2, of how it speaks of that. It's saying that, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. These evil men binding together, and they're saying, we're going to do away with God. And then it says, He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. The Lord is greater than all. The kings of the earth can band together. They can put policies and legislation and all these things in place, but the Lord will laugh in heaven, and He will put them in derision. And so when we consider that, we can say, along with King David, where he said here, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He says, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. I'm going to be confident in the fact that God loves me. God cares for me. God is providing for me. God will not allow for anything to happen above that which I would be able to bear. So God loves me. And so in that, I can be confident. In that, I can be confident. And in nothing else. And he continues on, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." This is basically a verse saying that there's such an appreciation of having the ability to spend the time with the Lord, to inquire in his temple, to read God's word, to pray to God, to build upon the relationship that we have with God and how God desires that of us. And then when we see God's goodness toward us, that we respond with that we really, really appreciate spending the time in the house of the Lord and in beholding the beauty of the Lord, of his great love that he has for us, and to inquire in his temple. And it continues on and says, "And in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." That rock that we heard about this morning, the rock of Jesus Christ. He will set us upon that rock. And he will hide us in the time of trouble. That's the refuge that we have in God. He is the strength of our life. That's the refuge we have in him, because he will hide us. He will hide us in his pavilion, and in the secret of his tabernacle, he will hide us. He will hide us and shelter us from the wiles of the devil, from Satan's roaring, and as he wants to come upon us with great temptations and deception. God will hide us, and in him we can find our refuge. Skipping down a bit to verse number 8, it says, "When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." And it's a beautiful thing, again, when we spend time with the Lord, when we're seeking and searching out his word, and understanding the direction and the things that God would have us to engage in and what he would have us for to do, that there is a blessing there as we're reading his word and as we're praying to him and singing his praises and having fellowship with fellow believers, that when he says to us and we read in his word that we should seek him, that we would do that then diligently. Just as it says there in Isaiah, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found," that we would do that diligently, that we would seek the Lord. Seek the Lord, follow in his way, understand what his word says, and then abide there, putting our will and our desire aside that we might follow the will and the desire of our Lord and our Creator. And then also, as Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock, and if we do seek, we shall find. We will find what the Lord would have for us. And so when God says to us, "Seek ye my face," our response is, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek." Further down in verse number 11, it says here, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies." The way we're going to be taught is simply from God's word. We're going to find that God is our refuge. We're going to find that we can stand upon the rock of Jesus Christ and build our house of faith upon that rock. And so we will find instruction in the Word of God. And so when he says, "Teach me thy way," when we're seeking God and asking him to teach us his way, he will give us that, and that is in his word. That is in his word and in Jesus Christ. Even as the gospel according to John begins there and says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And so we'll find that when we seek him out and ask him to teach us his way. And he also says here, "Lead me in a plain path." Plain path. A path where we won't stumble in a path where we can glorify the Lord, in a path that would be narrow, as we heard about this morning again. That would be a plain path, a way in which Jesus Christ and God would have us to walk in, and again, glorifying him in these things. And then he comes here towards the end in verse number 13, and he says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. King David had gone through many, many things. He from the time of his very youth, when he was watching his father's sheep there in the wilderness, and he fought with bears and lions, and as he fought David or Goliath, and as he had run from King Saul, and as he had become king, and as he had a son that wanted to commit treason, and he had experienced a lot of things in his life, and here he says, "I had fainted. I would have expired. I would have capitulated. I would have quit." He said, I would have given up. I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. And that's our way of life, is that we would have that faith that we would believe to see the goodness of the Lord. The heart of man is desperately wicked, we read there in Jeremiah. But the goodness of the Lord would come to those that would seek him and would follow after him. We will faint. We will fall. We will fail unless we believe to see the goodness of the Lord. His goodness is extended to us and to all mankind when we believe that we are in the palm of his hand. He loves us. He cares for us. He is providing for us. He will be our shelter in the time of storm. He is our refuge. And we will believe in that goodness. And when we believe in that goodness, he will carry us through. He will carry us through. And that's such a great comfort and a great consolation for each and every one of us. And so often in life, we need that. We need that comfort. We need that consolation. And we can know that when we believe to see the goodness of the Lord, that he will provide that for us. In a way that we might not expect it, and perhaps to a level that we wouldn't expect either. The Lord will provide his goodness when we believe in him in all these things. And so he concludes this psalm as he writes here, and he says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." When you look up the root word of this wait, it's to be in expectation. To be in that state of expectation that God's going to provide. God's going to provide. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not next week, but God's going to provide. He's going to provide. I don't know when, I don't know how, but God's going to provide. And that's waiting on the Lord. That's waiting on him. I'm not going to take matters into my own hands and get this done. I'm going to wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And he says, and then be of good courage. Be of good courage. And we know the definition of courage is not that there would be an absence of fear, that there would be no fear, and so therefore we could have courage. No, but despite the fact that there's fear here and there's a real storm going on, that we could still have courage that somebody is greater than that storm. And that somebody, that our God, he will provide. And so we could have that good courage, a good courage to simply be in expectation, to wait on the Lord that he will provide. He will strengthen our heart. Again, our hearts would fail. We would faint if it wasn't for the goodness of the Lord. He will strengthen us. He will provide for us. And so he reiterates that again. And so he says, wait, I say, on the Lord. And so it is for us, too, that we have God's word. We have his promises that he will provide. He loves us so. He has given unto us all things. He will provide for us. He has placed us in the palm of his hand. He has given unto us his very best, the gift of life in the form of Jesus Christ. He has given unto us all these things. And so because of that, we can trust in him that he is the strength of our life, that we can be in expectation that the Lord will provide somehow, some way, but the Lord will provide. And his goodness will be extended to us. He is the strength of our life. He is our light. He is our salvation. He is our all in all. And in him we can trust. And in him we can have that refuge. So thanks be to God that he has provided for us this comfort, that we can have faith in nothing less than the almighty power of our living God. Amen.
As we've asked the Lord to be in our midst in this day, let us be thankful that he has visited us once again. And amid the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the good Holy Spirit, be with us all. Amen.